Today, as we celebrate this great solemnity of Christmas, we begin by looking at the readings that the church has given to us and what it is that the church wants us to be able to really grasp in this feast. We start out in the gospel reading by hearing that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh as we spoke. And we all genuflected at that moment because of the humility of God. To understand that the child who is born today is God. That is the point that is absolutely critical that we must understand. Certainly we can rejoice in the birth of any and every child, as we should. But this child is different. Different in a variety of different ways, actually. For all of us, a child should be the fruit of the love of a married couple. But this child is love itself. If we really think about it, the love that that married couple has for one another to be able to cooperate with God in creating a child comes from the Lord. Remember, St. John says, and this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he has loved us. He gave his Son as the expiation for our sins. So he has to love us first. We're made in his image and likeness, which means we're made for love. The only thing that's going to fulfill us is love. Something very important to think about on a day like this, where so many people in our society have forgotten what Christmas is really about. And it's become nothing more than a materialistic feast. It's all about how many presents you get and how expensive they are and whatever else. But if you really stop and think about it, do any of these things fulfill you? Oh, for a couple of minutes, it seems like they do. This is so exciting. This is so cool. This is so fun. This is what I've always wanted. Guess what? Next Christmas, you're going to be saying, I need something different. I want more. Because what I got last year wasn't fulfilling enough. And it never will be. It doesn't matter if you get the most expensive thing in the world or the fanciest thing in the world. Nothing will fulfill except love. If you want to think about it, those of you who have little guys, you go out and you figure out what will be the neatest present for your kids, and you know, you buy all this stuff. The kids open it up, and that's pretty fun, and then what do? They play with the box. They want to crawl in the box. They don't play with the toy that was in it. They want the box. It kind of puts it all in perspective for us, doesn't it? It's not that the box was important, but it just shows that the material thing really isn't. It's the love that goes with it. It's the love that motivates it. That's where the focus needs to be. And so the love comes from the Lord. So when he is born for us, that is love himself. Now, any child who is born is not only a miracle by himself, but the miracle really happens in the rest of us. Babies, if you really think about it, are the most powerful little creatures on the face of the earth. Oh, we can look at presidents and kings and we can say, oh, they're so powerful. Nah. Look what happens when a baby just lets out a whimper. Everybody runs. They are in complete control. They have all the power in the world. And so they should. But when we look at those little ones and we ask ourselves, why is it that we would be so attentive? Why is it that we would run when they make these little noises and so on? It's because we love them. Because that little baby has the power to do what no one else on the face of this earth can do. Actually has the power to make us open our hearts. to let our guard down, to be able to humble ourselves, and to be able to love. How can you not love a baby? They are the most lovable little creatures, and thanks be to God for that. But the thing is that we need to learn to keep the heart open. And so God obviously knew that if he was going to take our flesh, take our human nature and become one of us, that if we were simply to have to look at the cross, that might not work very well for us. That's where our salvation comes from. That's why he came into this world, was to die for us. And yet, that's hard. So God gave us a way that's easy. A way that unless you are the most hardened of human beings, you can't resist what a baby does to you. And so God gave himself to us in the form of a baby, so that once again we can open our hearts, that we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable, so that we can receive what it is that he's giving, and so that we can love him. And now we have to remember that he is God. As God, he cannot change, which means that his disposition did not change, and it cannot change. That means his disposition as the little baby in the manger is the exact same disposition of the man on the cross. It's the exact same disposition as our Lord has in the Holy Eucharist. He is there out of pure love for us. Now, it's interesting, again, when you look at the gospel today, other than our blessed Lord, there are two others who are mentioned. You have John the Baptist, and then you have us. Did you ever notice that? You're right there in the gospel. It's the same gospel we hear at the end of every single Mass. And so important is the fact of our Lord's incarnation that the church has given it to us at the end of every single Mass. And you listen also, pay attention when we do the creed. We don't genuflect at the part of the crucifixion. We genuflect at the incarnation and the nativity of our Lord, because this demonstrates his humility. And we recognize that God has become one of us, and St. Paul, even in the first reading, goes out of his way to make that point, that he is not just an angel who became one of us, but rather he is God. And as such, we recognize what he has done for us. The Son of God became a son of man. God is born of a human woman. And that indeed is a marvelous mystery that we will never be able to comprehend fully, even for the rest of eternity. But it's the other part of the mystery that's right there in the gospel that we have to look at. The part about you and me. And it says it twice. It says, those who believe, he has given the power to be the sons of God. And then it talks about it. It says, not by blood, not by the will of a man, not by the desire of the flesh, but born from God. That's actually what it says. Nati ex Deo sunt. Born from God. So today we celebrate the fact that God is born from Mary. That the Son of God is born of a human woman. But we are also celebrating the fact that you and I, who are human, are born from God, that we become sons and daughters of God. That's the mystery that this is all about. That's how it needs to be able to apply to us. So when we look at the manger, we look at the Son of God in his humility. Again, think about what happened. He is God. He could have done anything that he wanted in any way that he wanted. He could have been born in a palace. He could have had all the fanfare. He chose to be born in a barn and put into a feeding trough. That's what a manger is. It's a feeding trough. Look at the humility. But then we need to listen also to what happened when the angel appeared to the shepherds. He said that they came to bring tidings of great news, and then proclaimed exactly the words that we spoke already at the beginning of the Gloria. Peace to people of goodwill. Peace to people of goodwill. We live in a world that does not know peace. And by that, I don't just mean the fact that there are wars and such going on. I mean that we live our lives in total chaos. Noise everywhere. Racing around at 100 miles an hour, and we can't ever catch up. It's amazing that people 100 years ago who had to go at about 2 miles an hour on their horse, they stayed caught up. We go 70 miles an hour in the freeway, and we can't catch up with anything. We just get further behind. Our lives are chaos. Except that if we look at what it says in the gospel, it tells us, number one, that in our Lord, the Word that was made flesh, that he is life. And he says that life was the light of men. And the light came into the darkness. The darkness cannot grasp it. That darkness is not just the darkness of the world, but it tells us that the world didn't know even who created it, and the world, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. So it's not an external darkness that we're talking about, it is an internal darkness, that people didn't know their own creator, that the very people who professed him, the Jewish people, he came to them and they rejected him. Do you and I know him? He wants to be able to scatter the darkness of our hearts. He wants to fill our hearts with his peace, with his light, with his love. That's the point of being able to open our heart to the little baby, because of what he will give to us, himself. He is life. He is light. He is love. He is peace. That's what he wants for us. So you can ask yourself, as a person just in my day-to-day life, am I at peace? If you're like most people in America, the answer is no. That's because we don't have our hearts open to Christ. So it goes back to what I said earlier. The only thing that is going to fulfill us, the only thing that's going to bring peace, is love. In that little baby, he is love. He is love itself. He is the light that can scatter the darkness of our hearts. He's the one who can fulfill everything. He's the one who can bring peace. But before that can happen, we have to let him in. So in a few minutes, he's going to give himself to you in Holy Communion. So again, you can ask yourself, what is my disposition as I receive him? Is it the disposition that I would have if I could see him as a baby? Because his disposition hasn't changed. It's the same as he was when he was a baby. Pure love for you. That's the reality. We have heard this so many times that we let it go in one ear and out the other. It's time it needs to go in the ear and into the heart and stay there. Because that's where he wants to be, in the heart. But he can't get into our heart if we're not willing to open it up. That's why he gave himself to us in the form of a baby. Because it's pretty hard to resist. Babies are just plain irresistible. Thanks be to God. So that's what he's made himself. So that hopefully we can open our hearts to him. That we can receive the love that he gives us so that we can love in return. So that we can receive the peace so that in the midst of the chaos we can stay at peace. So that in the midst of the darkness of the world we can still have that interior light. That's what this day is all about. It is the feast of pure love. It is the love of God made man. It is the humility of God who loves each one of us so much that he would give himself in such a way that a third of the angels couldn't accept. They couldn't even believe that God would humble himself that much. They couldn't believe that God would love you that much, that they rejected the whole concept. But it is the truth. It's exactly what we heard at the end of the gospel reading. Filled with grace and truth. If we allow Jesus into our hearts, we have peace, have light, we have life, we have truth, we have grace, all the gifts that God is offering, because we will have him. That is the only thing that will fulfill. That is what our hearts desire more than anything. And his heart desires to be loved. His heart longs for you. So as we look again at the materialism of our society and we recognize the emptiness that's there with all the material stuff that we've got and our heart is longing for something more, we have the answer. But he also took a human heart. He took a human nature, so he has a human heart, which means his heart is longing as well. The only thing that will fulfill us is to be loved. And that's what he is looking for in return. He wants to love you. And he wants you to love him. And that is love. And that is peace. That is truth. And that is the fulfillment which our hearts desire.